God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 15th day of November, 2009, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. Our special music is presented by Miss Brenda Waterloo, and our sermon is taught by Evangelist Bill Rice, and it is entitled Sowing and Reaping in Giving. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
You got Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. If you would please, out of respect of the Bible, let's just stand as we read. Now, would you mind doing this? Would you read it for me tonight? Let me just give the reference and we'll all start out, and then I'll let you read the 7th, 8th, and 9th verses. Starting with be not deceived. I have the right verses, don't I? Okay, you ready? Here we go. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. Season we shall reap if we faint not. Father, you've said this. Help us to see it, to submit to it, to understand it, and to live in light of it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. While Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 do teach us that you cannot sin and get by with it, that is not what the passage is teaching. The last verse says, and let us, that would be Christians, not be weary in well-doing, that is, in doing things that are good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, that is, if we don't quit or give up, we'll reap. And so what the passage is saying is that if you will do what's right, you will benefit from doing what's right. Or if you'll do what's right, you will reap the benefits thereof. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, you'll see this throughout the Bible. In fact, it'll be interesting. This next week, as you read the Bible, look for statements of sowing and reaping to the benefit that you'll find in Scripture. It's all through the Bible, and especially it's just throughout the New Testament. Now, this morning we saw two areas. We saw the family. If you sow godly things for your wife and your children, you will reap godly things, or for your husband and children. In other words, if you invest in your marriage, if you invest in your family, you will reap. We saw an example this morning in the 29th chapter of Proverbs, where the Bible says that the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So a child that's left to himself will result in mom being shamed, but the rod, that is discipline, and reproof, that is correction, it will bring things that are good. In verse 17, the Bible says, if you'll discipline your child, he'll bring rest to your soul. In fact, he will bring the light to you. So in the family, you can sow properly and reap properly. Then we saw this morning that's true in church. To me, I think that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, is just striking. We are not to go to church in order to get. We are to go to church in order to give. But if we go to church and give, we will also receive because of God's promise. Now, I want us to see tonight the same thing in giving. That is, in giving stuff that we have. If you look at the sixth verse, look at verse 6 in Galatians 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. He's to communicate, and the word communicate means to share with the teacher in all good things, in a paraphrase. So, when I am taught in the Bible in a local church, I am to share with the person who taught me. Now, in context, it's talking here about specifically the local church. I think you could apply this anywhere, and you'll see that in a moment in Luke 6. But it's talking about the church. In other words, if I come to this church all the time and I am taught the Bible, I am to share with the person who teaches me the Bible. So specifically here, we'd be talking about the pastor, because he's the one typically or normally who teaches us the Bible. But the point here is that I am to give. Let him who's taught in the word communicate or share with the one, in a paraphrase, who does the teaching in all good things. Now, look at Luke chapter 6. And I want you to see the same thing. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. You got it? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give of your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Now look back this way, and let's think back at Galatians 6 just for a moment. When the Bible says, don't be deceived, God's not mocked, what you sow, you reap, it is true in everything. In other words, if I sow joy, I'll reap joy. If I sow gladness, I'll reap gladness. Have you ever been happy until you're with a grump? And he was grumpy about everything, and so he was grumpy, and he reaped grumpiness in your life. Well, that's true. However, the context in which Galatians 6, 7 through 9 is written is in giving. That's the context. Now, you can use it for the family, and that's true. You can use it for the church, and that's true. And elsewhere in the scripture, the Bible backs that up. But it's talking here in Galatians 6 about giving. Because in the 6th verse it says, let him that's taught share. Let him that's taught give. And then in verse 7 it says, look, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. What you sow, you reap. Now the same truth is given in the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured unto you again. So in Luke 6:38, the Bible says, if you give, now help me out, if you give, you will also get or receive. Isn't that what the Bible says? And it's clearly what the Bible says. Now, two things about this verse. Number one, first, it assumes you can give. Isn't that amazing? I love this. I was working on a message for teenagers at the ranch, and I was looking at this verse, and I was thinking, well, the Bible says give, but what if a teenager doesn't have a job? What if he doesn't have $1,000? Most teenagers don't. What if he doesn't have 100? What if he doesn't have 10? But the Bible doesn't say, now listen, the Bible doesn't say here, give if thou hast bukus of money. That's Greek, for you people who didn't know. The Bible doesn't say, if you are well healed, give. Have you ever said, you know, if I had $1 million, I would give like 25 to the church. That's $25, not a million. Have you ever said, if I had $1 million? I mean, haven't we all said that? It would be fun, wouldn't it, to have $1 million and give it? So have you ever said, if I had $1 million, I would give? However, most of us don't. But the point is that all of us have. All of us do. Now, you might say, well, Brother Rice, I don't have very much money. But Luke 6:38 is not talking just about money. Think back to Galatians 6. Share in all good things. So it's not talking just about money, but money is certainly a good thing to use as an example. So the Bible is saying here, give. In other words, the Lord Jesus said to you people, give. And he didn't just say it to people who have a good job. He didn't just say it to people who are 21 or older. In other words, children are included in this. If you are a teen and you're born again, the command in Luke 6 is that you are to give. And by the way, I've always thought this. I think we hurt teenagers when we don't ask them to give. I think we hurt people. Now, I understand that in a local independent Baptist church, you're taught about tithing. And I'm not opposed to that. But I do think it's unfortunate that for the offering, all we do is say, here's the offering, visitors, put your money in. I think people should always be encouraged. And whether you're encouraged to or not, I think you should always come to church praying about whether or not you should give and how much you should give. Because the Bible commands that we give. Now, somebody says, how much? Well, you've probably been taught to tithe. What's the word tithe mean? 10%, right? Okay, so somebody says, you know, the tithe belongs to the Lord. And we say, this is the Lord's day. It belongs to the Lord. Now, that's fine, but it's not true. Let me tell you, Sunday doesn't belong to God. Every day in your life does. and 10% of your money does not belong to God. Every stinking cent of it does. Years ago, I was listening to the radio, and there was a radio preacher who was quite well known, a good man, and he was talking about giving. I've never forgotten what he said. He said, a man in my church came to me and said, how much of my money should I give to the Lord? And he said, I said to that man, at the risk of offending you, I need to teach you something you should have learned long ago. The question is not how much of your money should you give to the Lord. The question is how much of the Lord's money can you keep for yourself? And it's the truth. See, give, the Bible says. See, here's what we do. You get out of high school, some of you before that. You get out of high school and you get a job at McDonald's. I assume they pay minimum wage. So you get a job at McDonald's and you work 20, 30 hours a week, enough to make 100. Well, let's help my math out. You make 100 bucks a week. So you get out of high school, you make 100 bucks a week, you're going to tithe. So how much of it do you give next Sunday? Help me out. $100, you're going to tithe. How much do you give? All right, 10 bucks. How much do you live on? 90. Okay? Then you work there for a few weeks and you get a raise, and so you get $150 a week. Help me out with my math here. So you give how much? And you live on how much? A bunch. Okay. All right. Now, you work for a couple of years, and you start making $250 a week. So you give $25, and you live on $225. Okay. Then you work for a while, and you start making, let's say, and this may be too much, it may be too little, but let's say $40,000 a year. You make $40,000 a year, and you give how much? $4,000, and you live on? I don't know. We think we're great when we get out of high school and we live on 90 bucks a week. And then we work a while so that we're living on maybe $600 or $800 a week while we tithe, and we think we're just great. Are you? Well, you say, but Brother Bill, you know, when I was at McDonald's as a graduate from high school, I didn't have kids, I didn't have dentist appointments, I didn't have to make car payments, I didn't have to make a house payment, and I didn't have all those responsibilities, and it didn't take as much to live. Yeah, but you're probably more stressed and more strained now than you were when you made 90 bucks a week upon which you could live. Now, here's all I'm saying. Don't get mad at me about this tithing business. Here's all I'm saying. I'm telling you, you are cutting yourself short if you think that the 10% you gave when you were in high school ought due now that you have a regular job. In other words, the Bible doesn't say give if you're able to afford to. The Bible says give. Okay. Well, somebody says, what if I can't afford it? Well, something's not working right if you can't afford it, because the Bible says give and it shall be, help me out, given. Okay. Well, somebody says, well, now, Brother Rice, I think we should all give. I do believe that, but I do not think, Brother Rice, we should give for the purpose of getting. Have you ever heard that? Yes. Now, understand, I believe we should give. But I do not believe, Brother Rice, we should give in order to receive. To which I have always said, why not? I'm serious. Why not? Well, you say because it's the wrong motive. Where do you see motive here in the command? The Bible does not say, give if you have pure motives in your heart. Does it? The Bible says, give. We say, yeah, but what if I don't give for the right reasons? Well, that's a problem, but it has nothing to do with the command. The command is, give, and it shall be given unto you. And I would assume if I give for the wrong motives, I would still get. I don't know why to assume otherwise. See, well, you say, yeah, but that's not good. I mean, a person should give for the right reasons. Okay, let's look at it this way then. Suppose I take this dollar, and I'm serious about this, and I give it. Now, don't think in amounts. Just think in principle. If I give, what will happen to me at some point? I will receive. Correct? Okay. Now, I don't know if it's a dollar. That's not the point here. And this business of if you give, you'll get back 90%, I think somewhat misses the point. Here's the point. If I give, I will also... All right, now the question is, if I am a giver, what will I do with that which I get? Give. So I give because I believed I would get so that I could give in order that I would once again get so that I can give. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to live by faith? Have you ever heard this? Oh, they're living by faith. Okay, what's that mean? Well, it means there's a missionary that comes to your church, and he has a van. I don't know where this is written, but evidently every mission board says, if you're a missionary, you've got to have a van. All right. Now, not only does he have a van, but the van has 240,000 miles on it. Isn't this true? Evidently, missionaries buy vans with 236,000 miles on them because I've never seen less miles. Okay, so he has a van. It's got 240,000 miles on it, and he's a missionary and his wife, and they have at least, this is one of the reasons for the van, 6 kids. Okay, so we say, this man with a van and 6 kids is living by faith. Okay, now I would agree that he is. I would agree that the missionary is living by faith. Okay, now the question is, what is he believing? Now think, to have faith means you're trusting God, doesn't it? Okay, if I'm living by faith and we're talking about money, which is what we're talking about with the missionary. Oh, my goodness, he's got 6 kids and a van with 240,000 miles. He's living by faith. What does that mean? Now listen to me. Living by faith has more to do with your giving than it does your getting. Because living by faith says, I believe God when he says, if I give, I will also help me out. Receive. And that's the point. That's what it means to live by faith. So a person gives expecting that he will get in order that he can give. Now somebody says, well, can you give your way to a BMW? Well, if you can, I'm going to start on it tonight. But that's not the point. A giver doesn't give so that he will have. A giver gives so that God's ministry will have. Knowing that if he gives, he will also get. Now, somebody says, well, you know, God will supply your needs. For example, Philippians 4. But my God shall supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's true. To whom was that written originally? The church at Philippi. And why did the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, say that to the church at Philippi? What kind of a church were they? Don't say independent Baptist. What kind of church were they? They were giving. So here's what Paul says. He says, when nobody else gave, you did. When nobody else was concerned, you were. And he says, I'm not concerned that I have something, but I'm concerned that you learned a blessed lesson. And you have given to support my work. I want you to know that my God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, one of the needs of the church was to be able to give. Okay, so you should know the answer to this one right out of the box. If you say, I can't afford to give, what does that say about you? Well, that's not a bad answer. You can't afford to receive. But let's go back before that. If I say I don't have any money and I can't afford to give, what does that say about my life? I haven't been giving. Because if I have been a giver, I will be able to give. See, I love this. My son says, now listen to this. My son says, the giver will always be able to. Okay, why will the giver always be able to? Because he'll always receive, right? He'll have, and so he can give. You know this, look, haven't you seen this in this church? I know very little about, in fact, I know nothing about your financial status. But hasn't this church been blessed so that people would say, how in the world can you afford X? I don't know. This doesn't make a difference to me. And how can the church afford it? And you say, well, I don't know, but I believe we should do it. And you did it, and you afforded it. And that happened. Have you ever said in your own personal life, how were we able to do that? Well, you were able to do it because God doesn't lie. And I don't need to be hoodwinked. What I sow, I also reap. See, isn't that a wonderful question? Okay, God will supply your needs, but he won't supply your wants, brother. That's the BMW. God will supply your needs, but not your wants. I'm sorry, but you're wrong about that too. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, there is a catch here. Your wanter needs to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But a giver's wanter will be. See? In other words, if I give... here's another thing. I love this in Philippians 4. Not only will God supply my needs, but he will supply them according to his riches. Look, I have in my pocket tonight, I'm so proud of this, because I don't usually carry money. Mary's the wealthy one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, $7. Okay. What's your name? Will you spell it for me? What? What's your name? Leah. Can you spell it for me? Leah. Okay. I don't hear so well. And my brain. I'm from Tennessee. You people forgot that. All right. Leah. How old are you, Leah? 9? Okay. You like ice cream? Okay. All right. Suppose Leah... said to her dad, I'll be your dad just for a minute, Leah. Is that all right? Okay. Is your dad here? Okay. All right. Evidently he is. I'm not really positive about this. Okay. suppose your dad has, how much money did I have? I forgot. Forgive me, people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I didn't realize I was so rich. The number of completion, 7. All right. I get $7. Suppose Leah says to her dad, Dad, I would like an ice cream cone. Now, how much do ice cream cones cost? Somebody help me out. How much? $2. $3? $2. $2.50. Okay. $2.50. Okay. Ice cream. So, if Leah asks for an ice cream cone and I give her $2.50, I would be granting her need according to her need. You following this? But I got more than $2.50. I have $7. Okay. So if Leah says, Dad, I would like an ice cream cone, and I give her the $7, then I am supplying her need according to my riches. Can I have one too after the service, Leah? Would that be all right? Okay, you following this? All right, in other words, if I give her 2.5, I'm supplying her needs according to her needs. If I give her $7, which I just did, this is a very expensive illustration, people. But if I give her, I'll get back to this in a second. If I give her $7, I am providing her need according to my riches. Now, people, listen. When we give, we receive. And my father used to say, you know, when it comes to giving, most of us come to God with the wrong end of the funnel up. Is that making sense? My dad also used to say, you can't outgive God. You can't. Why don't you try? Because you can. I know we're in a financial downturn. I know that. And I don't mean to be silly about some of the hard times some of us or you may be facing. It may be difficult. It may be difficult for you to pay bills, to meet, to have ends meet. I understand that. But I'm telling you people that no matter what the economy is like, God's work should prosper because God's people should give. And you ought to challenge yourself with it. You know, there are some promises of God's that take a while to prove. For example, this morning I said, the Bible says, and I take this as a promise, many good people do not. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How long would it take to prove that? Well, the Bible says when he is old. So if I have a son, I would assume that he needs to be probably in the grandfather years before I can say, hey, I trained up a child of the way he should go, and he is still going that way at the age of 60 or whatever. So it would take maybe 60 or 50 years to prove that. But that's not true with giving. When the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Men will give in your bosom. It doesn't take 60 years to prove that. And it doesn't take 6 years. And it probably doesn't take 6 months. And more than likely, it doesn't take 6 weeks. Now, I'm serious about this, people. If you would mean business about this matter of giving, I think you'd see a return, all things being equal, instantly. In other words, I think the person that'll give on a Monday will see God's blessings long before the week is out. Now, I'm not saying if it's Monday, you'll get something. I'm not saying that. That's not the point. The point is God has promised if you'll give, you'll have to give. Well, somebody says, Brother Rice, here's something you don't understand. I have been tithing for 5 years, and I just don't have anything for anything. Okay, may I do this again? Why didn't I think of that? You're right, God lies. You understand this? Isn't this important? In other words, I don't mean to be cute. I can go to the bank with this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And this comes on the heels of the statement, let him that is taught in the word communicate with the teacher in all good things. I'm telling you, God's people should be givers. God's people should be givers. My heart is always stirred by giving people. Proverbs says, the generous soul shall be made fat. Well, shall he or shall he not? Is that true or not? We live in the most prosperous nation on the earth today, and in the most prosperous nation that has ever existed. Is that not true? Probably no one in this room tonight has ever gotten up wondering whether or not you could eat something on that day. Now, it may be, because we have people here that are older, and so it may be, but more than likely not. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all, or you either, would it? If there was not one person who ever got up in this room, who ever awakened on a morning wondering whether or not he could eat. Did you know in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said we are to pray this. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me ask you a question. Now don't be embarrassed and don't think I'm trying to be mean. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever gotten up in the morning and said, "Dear God, please allow me to have lunch today"? You ever prayed that? More than likely not. Why? Because you live in America. Pastor said to me today, this is after lunch. I was at his home for lunch. And by the way, I was not sitting next to the pastor when we prayed. Just so you know. And his wife had already told me, "It's okay, Brother Rice, we're cool. You won't have to hold hands with my husband." In fact, I think, you know, the intent was, hold hands with my husband and you're going to be in trouble. That was the pastor's wife. But anyway, after lunch, the pastor said, "Hey, I know you won't want to eat before the service. How about Italian after the service?" Now, let me ask you a question. I'm serious about this. Would any of us think the pastor is wealthy? I'm not trying to be cute, and I don't need any, at this point, funny answers. Do any of us think the pastor's wealthy? No. Do any of you think that I'm wealthy? No. Do any of you think that the pastor or I eat high on the hog? No. Do any of you think it's really something special that the pastor could say after lunch, "Hey, tonight let's have Italian"? Did you know that's almost exclusively American? If you are on most mission fields tonight, now this is not true in all of Europe, but if you are on most mission fields tonight, you could not choose between Italian, Mexican, Chinese, and American. Did you know? You know that, don't you? You know what you'd eat on most parts of the earth tonight, including some so-called civilized countries, places like Russia. Do you know what you would eat in most parts of the globe tonight if, in fact, you ate anything at all? Rice? Correct? Okay. And what would you have had for breakfast? Rice. And what would you have had at the pastor's house for lunch? But we don't live that way. The deal is, I'm not sure I feel like Italian tonight. I think I'd rather have French. Or Northern Oklahoma. Whatever that means. Probably roadkill. I don't know. At any rate. Okay. But isn't that true? I mean, what's the word fellowship mean in a Baptist church? After the service, we're going to have fellowship. What does that mean? What is a fellowship hall in a local church? It's a kitchen. You know what we do after church? We go to a place like Wendy's to fellowship over fries and chili and a single and a large Coke that we have biggie sized or whatever they call it at Wendy's. That's what, in other words, we eat just for the fun of eating. Look at us. Isn't that true? Like, don't sit out there and tell me that God does not keep his promise on the giving business. You and I do not give like we could. And probably we do not give like we should. And yet has or has not God wonderfully blessed us with stuff. You know why? Because with all of our shortcomings and with all of our wickedness, and they are numerous, it is numerous. America's been a nation that, by and large, and independent Baptists have been people that, by and large, support the Bible. And God takes care of us. Well, you say, he may not always. You can say that all you want to. The fact of the matter is, probably, you'll eat something after the service. I'm just telling you people, given shall be given. One more story and I'm finished, okay? One more and I'm finished. The Lord Jesus, forgive my English, goes to the temple. And he's standing in the temple and he sees religious leaders come by the box in the temple that received the giving of people and put large sums into the box. You know the story I'm telling? And a woman comes through the line. What kind of woman is she? A widow. And she gives all that she has. It is a mite. And even to this day, we refer to the widow's mite. Now, it'd be hard for us to know the value of a widow's mite, but it was in that day and in that time the smallest amount of currency available. The Lord Jesus, when he saw this woman give, commended her. Because not only was she a widow, but she gave all. Now, there were others that gave larger amounts, but they only gave a percentage of what they had. Like us. They gave a percentage. But she gave all she had. Now, it's important for us to stop here and think for a second. That she was a widow is very significant. Because in our Lord's day, women did not earn money or salaries. That's been true on this planet for most of its existence in many or most cultures. So this widow, the point of a widow giving all that she had is she didn't have stocks and bonds. That's the point. See? Remember the Apostle Paul writing to the church and saying you should take care of widows if they're widows indeed? Remember that? What does it mean? Well, it means a widow that doesn't have a son. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, also said this. If one provides not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Remember that? Okay. So the idea is that a son needs to take care of his mom if dad is gone. Okay, now why should a son take care of his mom if his dad is gone? And why, if she's a widow indeed, meaning she doesn't have a son, should the church take care of her? Because people, there was no way for her to have what she needed. Okay, you following this? Here is a widow with no recourse in getting money. None! She didn't have a job. She didn't own stocks. She didn't have bonds. She wasn't the wife of the president of some company. She had no great inheritance. She had one lousy mite, and she gave it. And the Lord Jesus commended her, and 2,000 years later, we know about that because she gave all she had. Now, let me ask you a question. What happened to her? Well, she's a widow, isn't she? She has no money, does she? She has no way to get money, does she? So I'll tell you exactly what happened. I mean, I'm not brilliant, but I know what happened to this lady because she's a widow. She went home that night. There was no supper. She drank a glass of water. She got up the next morning. There was no breakfast. She drank a glass of water. She went out in the streets to see if she might find a morsel of food dropped by some passerby, but she found none. And she had no lunch. She had no supper. The next day she got up again. She had no breakfast. She had no lunch. She had no supper. And so she contacted H1N1. And she died. She was a widow. She gave the last mite she had. Is that what happened to her? Nope. No, not on your life. I don't know the specifics of it because God doesn't give us the specifics. But I'll tell you something. When you get to heaven, you're going to see a widow who had supper, all things being equal, who had breakfast, who had lunch, who had supper the next day, and who, thank you very much, did just fine. Now, how do I know that? Because God's promises, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. And what you sow, you reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Don't be weary, widow, in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And you couple that with give, and it shall be given unto you. And I will tell you that that dear widow, whom the Lord Jesus himself commended, did just fine, because there is a God in heaven. And you can take him at his word. Let's bow, please, for prayer.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with visiting evangelist Bill Rice. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop by and visit us just 1 mile north of Ponca City at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thank you again for listening.